There was a time, like during the 1970s and 80s, where the goodness, the love, the mercy of God, which is certainly true, could sometimes be overemphasized to the point of neglecting the fact that God is also just. That just as there is a reward for good, there is also a punishment for evil. Does God love us? Most definitely. Does God desire that all of us be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth that he gives us in his Son? Most definitely. And God has done everything and will continue to do everything that he can, of course he is God, to be able to save us. However, you and I also have a free will, which means that you and I can choose to love God in return, to follow his commands, to live as he expects us to, as people created in his image and likeness, or we can decide to do our own thing, to follow the lies and falsehood of the world that says, don't worry about what God says, don't worry about what the scriptures say, don't worry about what the church says. Do your own thing. Be with the times. Kind of go with it. So here we are, trying to be good wheat, living in a world that is full of weeds. And sometimes, for us to be able to retain that goodness, we have to follow the mercy of God, receive the mercy of God. But in order for us not to become weeds, to understand that there will be a just reward at the very end for those who follow the gospel and one for those who do not. As Jesus warned at the end of the gospel passage, at the end, the weeds will be taken up, bundled together, and thrown to be burned, cast out, apart from God. But again, the choice is ours. So what exactly is the good wheat? Well, the good wheat would be those who are rooted in truth, rooted in God, who live a life of faith, who have hope and trust in God's mercy, and also live a life of charity, that is love, that we love God sincerely. And as Jesus says, if you love me, follow my commandments. It's a desire to follow and to be like Christ and to love those that God puts in our lives. We find ourselves nourished by true doctrine given to us by the Lord and by the church, the teaching that he gives us, by hearing good things, by seeing good things, that is, searching for everything that is absolutely, truly correct, the true, the good, and the beautiful, those things that come from the God of truth, the source of all that is good. In fact, God is goodness itself. God is the root and the measure of beauty. God does all things well. God brings all things to perfection. Here's an example of what the world considers to be love and what God considers to be love. The world will tell you, if you have somebody in your family who's very sick, dying of a terminal illness, the good thing and the loving and the merciful thing to do is to kill them, allow them to die, or cause something to happen that will hasten their death. That's twisted. What does God say? You shall not kill. Instead, when someone is sick, to be there with them, to love them, to give them compassion, kindness, and to care for them until nature takes its course and the body yields up the soul to God. And then we pray for the soul and bury the body in dignity. That's what God teaches us. Not to take the easy way out, but with the cross to suffer for the sake of truth and goodness. That's what I'm talking about. As a common example, between God and man, take a flower, a rose, and see a natural rose, the beauty of the petal, the delicacy, the greenness of the stem, all the things that make a rose a rose. But then take an artificial rose and put it side by side, and a human being can create something very close, but nothing can compare to what God himself can do. We humans can do good things, but only if directed by the spirit of truth and wisdom can we do what's truly good and come to perfection. In the end, God himself and God alone can make all things truly perfect. He alone is truth. He alone is goodness. He alone is beauty. All truth, all goodness, all beauty comes from him. The weeds would be the opposite. The lies, the falsehood, the deception, all those things that are untrue, that only human beings, the world, apart from God, will give us. Things that are rotten, foul, and ugly. Anything that is not of God, those things come from the adversary, from Satan himself, who mocks God and tries to imitate God, but always falls short. It also comes from man apart from God. We all know that without faith, without hope, and without love, without God, without him there, without love of God, then there is nothing. without love for, trust in God, without love for, without trust in one another, there's no hope. None whatsoever. As St. Thérèse of Lisieux put it, we're looking for grace, and all is grace. If we love God, if we trust in Him, if we love one another and trust one another, we find ourselves living in grace and living in peace. If we find ourselves, too, giving ourselves to God's will and trusting Christ, loving Christ, even when we don't understand, which is most of the time, is simply to surrender our hearts, our minds, to surrender our wills to the will and to the love of God, to pray, to open our minds to the Spirit, to ask God's truth and guidance. We know that God is at work in the actions of His creatures. Our faith in God is inseparable from our lives as Christians. If we want God to work in us and through us, our faith, hope, and love have to be rooted in Him. Think of it this way. You and I were drawn out of nothingness, dust of the earth, drawn from nothingness by God's power, by God's wisdom, by God's goodness. We can't do anything good, produce no truth, fashion no beauty, if we cut ourselves off from our origin. Without God, humanity vanishes, and in more ways than one. We can never attain our full potential, nor can we ever be saved apart from God's grace. So keep this in mind. We are not saved, as some people would tell you, by faith alone. That's ridiculous. We are not saved by works alone. That too is ridiculous. Nor are we saved by simple faith and works together, as good as that may sound. St. John of the Cross explains it quite well. In the end, in the twilight of our lives, we shall be judged by love. It's no use to have faith in God if you don't love Him. There's no use in doing works if we have no love for God and love for our fellow human beings. We must have love for God, we must have love for neighbor, and love for ourselves. Those things give life to faith, give life to works, give life to hope. In the end, St. Paul says, are faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Faith comes from God, hope comes from God, but God is love. And as St. John says, those who love abide in God, and God abides in them. We are saved by nothing else than the love of God, manifested in the coming as man, the death and the resurrection of Christ the Son. Saved by the love of God, manifested in Christ Jesus. We believe in Him because we love Him. And because we love Him, we have faith in Him and we trust Him. Jesus told us that if we are to be His disciples, then we are to love one another, to be good to and to do good for one another, to be honest and to be true, not to attempt to deceive God, which we can't, nor to deceive one another, which we shouldn't, but always to strive for peace, to do all things well, to care for His world, to co-create, to procreate, and bring forth new life in love, never to diminish, never to destroy. Christ calls us to build up, not to tear down, and to always pursue goodness, to pursue truth, and to pursue beauty. That's what it means to truly be wheat. That grain of wheat that's fashioned into the bread of the Eucharist that binds us to Christ, the Eucharist that binds us to one another and makes us the body of Christ, the church, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven of which Jesus spoke. This is a gift of love. It's a gift of grace that we can be wheat among the weeds.